I'm going to be so good for the economy. I just want everybody to know that. Now that I've realized that I can't fight the fronts against foreign financial enemies and domestic financial enemies and foreign military enemies and domestic military enemies, I've just decided to go crazy, spend my money and buy everything. So I'll be great. I'll help the economy turn around all on my own in the next few months, folks. Car dealerships, I'm coming your way. Welcome back to the Dan Kofal Show. I am Dan Kofal, 877-326-3255. The problem is there's nothing out there that I really want right now. Shane, if you had to buy a new car right now, what would you buy?
I would go for a brand new King Cab F350. How about that, Dan?
No, not bad. You wouldn't go 450. You wouldn't go like whole hog and just.
No, I'm not a whole hog guy, Dan. I'm kind of a humble, you know, laid back, kind of behind the scenes kind of guy.
Dually? Dually or single?
Dually, of course.
Dually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not worried about getting through any drive-thrus anywhere then. No. Underground garages.
No, I got the Honda for that.
I can put the Honda in the bed of the Dually.
I got some ramps. I'll just drive it up in there.
Yeah, Ford's got that new truck coming out next year, though. I'm telling you,
Power Stroke's the only way to go.
Yeah, they got a 3-liter diesel coming out in their car, then their trucks, just like Dodge does, or Ram, I guess, does. So I'm torn. This is like a bad model year to be shopping for cars. Mm-hmm. I need to wait one more model year.
Okay, get back with us and let us know.
I will. I'm just letting the dealerships know I'm on the way. Now that I've decided that there's absolutely no reason to hang on to money. You might as well enjoy it while you can. 877-326-3255 is our number here on the Dan Kofal Show, dankofal.com. You know who always joins us on a Tuesday at this time? My friend, my mentor. I don't care what anybody says about his gold advice. I have profited personally to big numbers because of my friendship with the Magamba guru, Richard Dowdy. And he joins us every Tuesday afternoon here on the Dan Kofal Show. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dan? It's always wonderful to be here with you, and I'm glad I made money for you.
You have, and you're going to continue to. This gold at $1,250 is merely a temporary lull. It is a resting point for gold. It's tired. Gold's sweating a little bit. Now it's ready to get back in. It's the second half, and she's off to the races. That's my story.
That's pretty much the way I got it figured. Yeah, one of these first days, why not today?
That's exactly right. So what are we doing? We're talking gold lease rates today, huh?
Well, you know, I always look at the gold lease rates, and I'm not sure all the schemes and scams that go on with it. But gold, all the downturn here for the last couple of years, has been accompanied by very low lease rates on gold, some of them actually being below zero. The people were leasing out their gold and getting back less than they leased.
Isn't that amazing?
It didn't make any sense. Well, suddenly, those lease rates are turning up and they are heading. You won't believe what's going on. I don't know what the world's going on. There's all kinds of things happening with gold. And I think this could be this is actually getting pretty weird here all of a sudden.
Well, do tell, my friend, what's happening? Because there were negative. You were right. And you and I could never figure it out. Who would, for whatever reason, would you ever give something up to somebody else to hold for you and get back less when you got it back?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure there's as many reasons as there are people involved with it. So I don't know how the whole thing holds together, but something weird is going on. You don't make a profit by taking a loss.
Well, you can make it up in volume.
You make it up in volume, yeah.
Isn't that the mantra of the Federal Reserve?
You know, it's oddly you should say that because I was looking at the M2 money supply, and you know that thing has increased by about 50% since Obama took over.
That's an amazing number.
So in about 4 or 5 years now, the money supply has increased by 50% to $10,572,000,000,000.
Now let's
in just 1 year.
Let's mention what effect that should have had, and since it hasn't had that effect, and the laws of physics and economics have not been reduced to ineffective yet, the fact that should mean that we should have had massive inflation of roughly 50% in round numbers over the last couple of years, but we haven't seen that in the official numbers.
Well, it hasn't shown up in inflation in consumers' goods like food and whatnot, but the prices of stocks have inflated through the moon. Look at the prices of bonds.
You bet.
That's the biggest inflation you'll ever see. So that's where all the money went. The money went into buying all these government bonds, driving their prices up to such astronomical heights that the interest rate is practically nothing. Actually, zero. They came close to having zero interest rates at one time. And even those have started increasing now. And what that means is we're going to have inflation in a personal something, in this case bonds and stocks, and for a while their houses. And then inflation will creep into all other things. That's the way it works, and that's the whole crux of the entire economic problem, is how to keep that from happening. And the bad thing is, Dan, as you know, and as every thinking person knows, everybody agrees that increasing the money supply causes inflation in prices.
Money?
Everybody. There's no one that disagrees with that.
Yeah, inflation is always a monetary phenomenon. There is no such thing as inflation unless you create the money to allow the inflation to. There can be unsatiated demand, but that's not inflation.
No. You got to have the money to pay for it. And the increase in the money supply makes more money go around and increases the purchasing power of everybody, and they buy stuff, driving the price up because supply can't keep up in the short run. The problem is that people invest for the long run. They look at all those increases in demand and say, hey, man, this is great. Happy days are here again. So they increase their plants and equipment, and they hire people, and they make plans to do all this stuff, and it's based on a false demand. It ain't there. In reality, it depends on government money. It's a big ugly mess, and you just can't get out of it. We're doomed. We should have stopped 30, 40 years ago, but no. And here we are.
I tried that line with somebody yesterday. It was one of our guests that I had a rather spirited discussion with, and I had mentioned the fact that the country couldn't afford the new immigration policies that we are looking for. And I mentioned just briefly, I said, you know, the country is broke, and every day we become more broke. And I said, really, the country's been broke since about the early 70s. And he didn't have any clue what I was talking about, not even the tiniest, slightest clue about, let's just say, the oil shock in the 70s. Let's suggest that the first time we went over $1 trillion in debt was at the end of the Carter administration. You look at the 70s as a time where the very last time that the budget truly was balanced as far as cash in and cash out was in the early 70s. The budget has never been balanced since then. We have truly, since the early 70s, been a nation of kiters. And we're writing checks with no assets behind it, and we have to make it up in velocity.
Make it up in velocity. All right, that's funny.
You got to keep those shells moving, Magamba. You can't slow down long enough to find out there's nothing under any of the shells.
You got to sell those color TVs.
I'd like to get Mark Knopfler on here. That would be wouldn't that be a great guest to have from Dire Straits? Yeah, I love it.
Show me how you did that, Mark.
Yeah?
I say, hey, show me how you did that lick.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. All right, so here's what we've got out there right now. We've got too many dollars printed. We have convinced, the government and the Federal Reserve has convinced the American people that a dollar is just a commodity. It's a currency, but it doesn't matter. The more dollars they print, the more we devalue our own assets, because the more dollars there are to chase a finite amount of assets. And it is paper chasing finite assets and finite amounts of services. Money made in financial transactions is, you know, as long as you keep printing money, that money isn't real. It makes you feel wealthy, but at any point in time the game stops, your money supply stops.
Well, it is real in the very short run. It does have all kinds of salutary effects. But it, in the long run, it's like drinking poison. You know, a little bit of strychnine will give you a real buzz, they say, but too much will kill you. And that's exactly the way the money supply thing works. You just don't want to take a buzz to start with. And Austrian School of Economics is absolutely right. You've got to hold the money supply kind of constant and quit screwing around with things. But no, we didn't do that.
And that's the charge of the Federal Reserve is stable money. And stable money to the Federal Reserve, I don't know how they define stable money, but from 1913 through 2013, 100 years, the value of the dollar's gone down 98%. The dollar today buys 98% less than it did, and that is a huge number, and that's all due to the Federal Reserve.
Well, you know, the other statistic I heard was since 1971, the dollar in 1971, it only buys 18 cents worth of stuff today. So, man, if you're going to be saving for retirement and your money's being devalued that fast, then you need a lot more money to retire than you thought you did.
I think that's right.
It's a lot of money at the beginning to overcome the cost of inflation when you're basically your income is more or less fixed. That's one of the problems with having a fixed income and inflation. Every month you can buy less and less and less and less and less and less and less. All the time less.
And that is where we're fighting internal and external enemies, both on the financial side. I can't diversify away from the risk that my own government will make me survive in a world that is completely uninhabitable financially. I can't diversify away that risk. I can diversify away some other risks, but not that one.
Well, buying gold is pretty much a good way to get away from that. And that's the lesson of all of history. Gold is the only thing that's going to help you. So I don't know why people aren't buying.
I know. If they think that houses are a good buy right now, with interest rates as low as they have been headed up, if housing is a good buy, then gold is a screaming buy, but not if you're going to borrow money. I swear, if you're going to leverage that money, gold is still a risky investment to leverage on. But, you know, interest rates going up, you get a let's say you go out and you get a big fixed a big loan right now, fixed rate, long term. I could be in for that. I don't know why in the world I haven't been playing the Wall Street game for these past 20 or 30 years, where you just go out and borrow a big chunk of money at low interest rates and just invested it at even a quarter point higher. I don't know why I didn't get into that game.
Without a whole lot of money, it's hardly worth the hassle for one thing.
Yeah, I wish
I'd little bit. That little bit of margin ain't gonna do you much good.
All right, one quick question. Gold lease rates. Want to circle back before we leave? We got about a minute left to go on that. Are you seeing a dramatic move in that? So much
dramatic.
So that it makes you kick back and go, oh gosh, something's happening.
Something's happened. Yes, that's why I'm bringing it up. I've seen them go up and down, blah, 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 kinds of things going on. This is really dramatic. Go to kitco.com. That's where you can find them. The gold lease rate's right there on that site, if you don't believe me. And take a look at it. The problem with it is they don't go very far back in time. They only show you the last month or so. And, you need a little more long-term perspective than that, but you would think. But it's just the rates are going up. They're exploding.
Now, and that's I have a simple reason for that, is because right now everybody's so happy the price of gold is coming down. If you're a gold hater, you go, see, I told you so. If you're a gold lover, you go, that's great, because I'll be able to buy into it. I'll be able to cover my shorts. Right now, there are gold mines shutting down all over the world because the production costs are higher than this $1,250 an ounce. All of a sudden, these people that are short gold, or people on the exchanges that are demanding delivery of bullion as opposed to cashing out contracts, there isn't the same amount of bullion floating around out there. That is a terrifying thought. Therefore, lease rates go up because the folks that leased it want their damn gold back.
That's one very good interpretation, but I don't want to jump to conclusions if I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, I'm going to go ahead. I'm good with it. I do that all the time, really. It makes a show go so much more quickly in two hours. All right, Magombo Guru, Richard Dowdy is my good friend. Thank you so much. Economist, former contributor, and I think, are you not contributing to the Daily Reckoning now?
Have
you got, not yet? Okay. I thought they got you back in the saddle over there, for somebody told me that. MagomboGuru.com, it's good stuff. We'll have another article coming out from him as soon as he deigns us worthy.
Wonderful to be here, Dan. Nice talking to you.
Take care, buddy. We'll be back right after this break in the Dan Kofal Show.